here I am. I'm at a place now where so much that was hidden is come out.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 1.
You are seen, you are heard, you are loved by God. You're not alone, you're fully known, you are loved by God.
Hello, lovelies. We're back for another See Here Love season, a brand new season. Season number 10. This season is full of tough and life-giving conversations to help us along our journey. This is a season of learning, curiosity, adventure, and belonging. So we kick off this new season with the conversation with our host Melinda and her friend Kalita. Before we begin, this episode contains material of a highly sensitive nature, including sexual assault and suicide. This may be triggering for some individuals. Our hope is that as you listen to Kalita's story, you will know that your past does not define you, that you are a survivor, an overcomer, worthy and loved by God. Let's join Melinda and Kalita in our podcast studio now.
Well, welcome to a very special See Here Love podcast episode right here in our podcast studio in Burlington, Ontario, Canada. And yes, I have a very special guest in the studio with me. Kalita. Now, if you don't know Kalita, you need to know Kalita. And if you don't know Kalita, I guess the question is, why don't you know Kalita and her voice? But this is really special because Kalita is not only an incredible performer and now author and entertainer, but she's also my friend. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you a little bit about Kalita, and then we're going to get into one of the most unbelievably courageous story and journey that I have ever read or known, and you know that I have interviewed a lot of people. So here's Kalita. There are many entertainers for whom the term multi-talented applies, but just a select few who take that description to the next level, and that would be Kalita. She wrote her first song at 11, invented her first comedic character at 12, and started performing professionally at 14, and by 22, with a university degree in hand, she was starring in Toronto Musical Theater. And by 30, after taking the country music world by storm with her shocking pink hair and plucky persona, absolutely, she had several Juno nominations and a few Canadian Country Music Awards to her credit. But the staggering toll of a tragically secret life, complete with suicide and incest, emotional abuse, drug addiction, adultery, hidden homosexuality, and betrayal, compelled Kalita to seek out new and more fulfilling avenues of expression. This new Kalita, along with her second husband, Gord Lemon, tapped into her pain, her vulnerability, her harrowing life, and her renewed alliance with God. And so her music took a spiritual bent, and she lent her voice to humanitarian efforts and social justice, especially for children. And as a trained life and healing coach and passionate keynote speaker, Kalita has since shared her true story through music, comedy, and heartfelt talk. Now, it's all documented in her new, no holds barred memoir, Reason to Sing, an inspiring journey overcoming trauma, abuse, and betrayal, 20 years in the making. It's an astonishing opus that chronicles an unbelievable life, as each new chapter unveils more drama than most fiction authors would dare to invent, and yet it's all true. There's also a 19-song CD that brings this book to musical life with her voice, words, and music, beautifully augmenting her extraordinary journey. I know, it was long. Kalita, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Melinda.
And here's the thing. I never read a big, long bio, but this was beautiful, and I think I needed our listeners and viewers to get a sense of who you are. But author, entertainer, all that, that's good. But friend.
I know.
How long has it been that we have been friends when we first met?
Well, we first met when we, Gord and I, arrived at City Center Baptist, and I had Keldon in my arms, so he was a baby. So it's got to be at least 30 years, because he's almost 32. Yeah.
30 years we've known each other.
Yeah.
I remember you very clearly when you came in. You started like leading worship and singing, and I was in awe. So I'm a teenager, Kalita, and I am in awe of this spunky, you were like little, powerful woman with a voice And I remember at some of the Saturday night services, I think I one time had the pleasure of singing with you or backup and one time leading worship.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I don't know if it was like Shout to the Lord or or all these other hymns, but we did. And I was in awe of you. I you know, and I knew a little bit about your story, but I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know all the stuff that was going on. But I was so glad that I met you. I'm so glad you came to that church.
Me
and
too.
That we met.
Yeah.
I know. And I was a different girl then. I mean, I was struggling a lot when you met me, mm-hmm. trying to find my way.
Yeah.
Bit of the prodigal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew about some of those things.
Are you surprised where I'm at now?
I love where you're at right now. You look so at peace and so happy. And you are walking in it.
Yeah.
You know, I love seeing you happy because I know that you've struggled.
Yeah.
I was at your first marriage.
I know.
The wedding.
I know.
Keldon and I came.
I remember that.
Yeah. So when I see you in your life and where you're at, I'm just so thrilled for you. Really. Mm. You deserve it all.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's rare to find somebody that remembers you as a teenager and then like 30 years later you can sit and kind of talk and see where each other has gone and been and what we've experienced. So this is a real like gift. Like this moment together. Oh, so I'm very grateful.
I'm so glad to be here with you.
Yeah. So Reason to Sing, mm-hmm. looking back over your incredible life, one word when you look at your life, what's one word where you're like, this is, if you could, encapsulate in one?
Well, when you said that, raw and wow.
I love that. Raw and wow. Raw meaning what? Like just... Here I am.
Here I am. Yeah. Real. Like I'm at a place now where so much that was hidden is come out. And so I am feeling raw. But I think I didn't recognize when I was going through it just how raw I was. And so lots of layers, lots of masking, you know, just so much. And I see it as all those things, they were merely ways of surviving. And the wow is like, now that I have chronicled my life in story form on the page, mm-hmm. I actually have sat in my own presence at times and pinched myself and said, wow, I really went through all that. Yeah.
That is wow. And I feel like heart to heart, soul to soul right now because I know that, you know, I've been through mm-hmm. a lot of similar things, yeah. not all the things that you have, but I get that. That's actually really beautiful because I would say the same raw and wow. Mm-hmm. One of the quotes in your book, you said, Kalita, for most of my life, I've hidden all the trauma inside. It's what you do to survive. And of course, it does eventually seep out of you in many different ways, and you make poor choices. You lose your boundaries. You're sick all the time. And then there's the self-medication with drugs, booze, sex, and even attention seeking. Mm-hmm. No one gives you a handbook on how to deal with family trauma or incest or suicide or crippling shame or death and dysfunction. Somehow, by the grace of God, I've been able to navigate by pure gut instinct. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. And I want to talk about that because one of the things, Kalita, when I talk to my girlfriends or mm-hmm. I'm out speaking,
yeah,
one of the biggest things that comes up is trauma. Mm-hmm. How to identify, how to sit with, how to deal with, mm-hmm. and then not only trauma but resilience and then healing, yeah. freedom. So I want to talk about that with you. I think after reading your story, mm-hmm. there's a lot of that, and I think we can really learn.
Yeah.
From you.
I hope so.
Oh, no, we can because here you are. Here's the thing about learning. Here you are. Mm-hmm. Like you're actually physically here mm-hmm. where I think a lot of people that have, you know, experienced what you have might not be where you're at or even here like physically.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I acknowledge that I have been very fortunate to be a healthy human being at this point in my life.
Amazing. So if you're okay with it, I want to kind of go through some of the trauma.
Sure.
We don't have to like go into the detail, but I want to go through the trauma. You can talk a little bit about it, mm-hmm. but I want to go from like trauma and sort of how you've then, I don't like the word dealt, but you know what I'm saying? Like how you have processed,
yeah.
journeyed through mm-hmm. and then helping us process it. So if we can, let's sure. start. I mean, none of it's an easy start. I'm like, where do I start with your topics?
I know.
But it's not going to be in chronicle or chronological order. So suicide, mm-hmm. your dad.
Yeah.
How do you make sense of that? How have you healed working through that somebody would take their life mm-hmm. that you love?
That you
that loved. Was loved as well, mm-hmm. that you loved.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. And was at such a young age. I think, quite honestly, I probably buried so much of it because how do you process as an 11-year-old child when there are no counselors, there are no adults who come alongside of you, and even ask the question, how are you doing? And I'm sure things are much different now today, but that was back in the '60s, and there weren't, you know, there wasn't the availability for counselors and therapists and support groups and all that sort of thing. So I think a lot of it was just pure, like you read earlier, gut instinct of surviving. So you put up a shield. For years, I told people that my father died of a heart attack. Mm. There's so much shame around suicide, and especially when you're in a small Southern Alberta farming community mm-hmm. where your parents were very well known. My parents were cattle breeders and very entrepreneurial. And so they were well known in the community. And so, yeah, lots of just put up the walls and let's just move forward. But I must say that I can't not tell you that shortly after he passed away, that is when I was given the gift to be able to write mm. and express myself through words and music at the piano. And that was a gift. You know, that was a supernatural gift that was given to me. I can still remember that feeling of being in the room that day, overwhelmed by the heartache and the sadness weeks after he passed. And I just sat at the keyboard and was wondering, why wasn't there an adult? Why wasn't there anyone who could have helped save my father? Mm. And then this song just started to come out of me and words and music. And I felt the presence of something very powerful in the room. And the voice inside me was, I've taken something very special from you, but I'm giving you something in return.
Mm. Wow.
And so music, right from that day forward, has been a way for me to express and to feel in physical form the grief. And the music.
What I'm hearing you say is, for those who are going through loss and grief,
mm-hmm.
that it would be really good to find an outlet.
Oh, yeah.
To express your grief in a healthy way. So mm-hmm. you found music, but there probably could be a number of other ways mm-hmm. to not keep it hidden and internalized and deep down, but able to like get it out, express yourself.
Yeah.
At 11, Kalita, when you look back, what would have been helpful for you and your family in healing well through your father taking his life?
Well, I think it would have been helpful if some of the adults in my life would have been able to approach my sister and I. She was 3 years younger than me. Just some adults in our family. But I think they didn't know what to do. I don't think that they knew what to do either. And my mother, my mom and dad had been separated for 6 months before the suicide. So she was dealing with her own stuff. There was already another man in her life at this point. And so I don't think she knew what I don't think she knew what to do either. But definitely, if people, I would say to your listeners that know of someone who's experiencing this, that don't be afraid to see if just having a presence, just walking alongside of someone, just being there, you know, holding space, as we call it today, mm-hmm. right?
It's good. Speaking of your mother,
mm-hmm.
betrayal, I think that sense of your mom leaving your dad and going off with another man. Mm-hmm. And so how many of us have experienced betrayal, somebody else going off with somebody else, mm-hmm. leaving us,
yeah.
leaving the family?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that trauma? I mean, I think, and I connect with it in the way of going through a divorce, mm-hmm. of someone choosing to leave,
yeah.
when they had committed to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How have you worked through that betrayal, the trauma of betrayal and being left?
Mm-hmm. Well, my mother, the thing that really betrayed me was that I remember asking her one day in her bedroom, will you ever marry again? And she said she wouldn't. I mean, that's a silly mm-hmm. thing to ask your mother, because who knows what can happen. But that really stuck with me. It's like, well, not only did you lie to me, but, you know, then you went and married this person. I think at that point in my life, that's probably when, you know, the partying
mm-hmm.
Probably helped me, you know, self-medication. Yes, pot, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think the way that I dealt with loss and betrayal was to perform, mm-hmm. you know, to have people look at this side of me and not focus on any of that other stuff. And so people pleasing, striving, being perfect, being outgoing so that I looked normal on the outside to people. I think just masking, masquerading. Yeah.
And the healthy way to deal with it, what would you say now? And I hear that because that's how I dealt with it.
Yeah.
When I dealt with my own insecurity, loneliness, not belonging, being different as a brown young woman in Canada.
Right.
I did the same. Men's attention, drinking, drugs, escaping to the clubs.
Yeah.
Sex.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say would have been the healthy way to have dealt with these things or deal with these things?
Oh,
I know.
Well, I guess the healthy thing would have been to realize that you can't take everything personally. You have to look at where it's coming from. You have to look at that person and where are they in their lives and what is their woundedness. You know, like, I think we forget how hard it is for people who are wounded to parent.
Ooh.
To be strong. Like, I look back at my mom. I mean, she was dealing with a man who was suicidal in her 40s.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I think I probably learned a lot from my mother. I learned how to hide and how to bury grief and be stoic. Oh. My mother taught me that by example. Not always good.
Right. You know, that's a good reminder, because we talk a lot about like family of origin mm-hmm. trauma and family of origin influence. Now that I'm in like going into my 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big conversation that we always talk about and see her love, like family things. But I think we said it's really powerful, Clita, about like a wounded person. Now that I'm on the other side, I look at my parents and
yeah,
there was woundedness. They were dealing with their own trauma
yeah.
and other pain, and they're trying to parent out of that. Mm-hmm. Yes, unfortunately, that can impact a family.
Yeah.
But then now on the other side, it's like, can we have grace and forgiveness for them? Even though it can be awful. and devastating. But now knowing, I think that's a really good reminder. Can we have grace and extend grace to those who are wounded, even our parents?
Yeah. Well, yes, we can.
Yes. And we should. We can. And yes, we should.
We should, and we have
to. And it's not immediate, and it's a process to go through that, but we do. That's really good.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
This is a tough one, and it's you know, a big part of a chapter in your book. Mm-hmm. But incest, and rape. And I say that with, you know, it's even hard to say and speak out. And yet a number of my girlfriends have experienced that. Mm-hmm. And it makes me really emotional. Mm-hmm. And we know the statistics on women, you know, who have been sexually assaulted, raped, and it's a lifelong journey, and the impact of that and experience has, you know, for some of my girlfriends has been so difficult.
Yeah.
And how their decisions have been made, relationships, how they see themselves. I want to land on that a little bit because that's big and awful and traumatic. How have you, through the years, dealt with that, journeyed through that, and come to this place now? Where it's part of your story, but it doesn't hold you and you are no longer this victim.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I want to clarify. I was not raped, but definitely assaulted.
Assaulted. Okay. Yeah.
On more than one occasion. Probably around, it's hard to know exactly, 4 or 5 years old. And by my brother, who was my senior by 10 years. Okay. So, I don't think the general public understand how long-lasting incest or any kind of sexual abuse can be in one's life. I remember over the years, you know, after sharing my story and at some of my concerts where I would have women in their 70s come up to me and disclose for the first time. And so I just want to say to anyone out there that it's a blessing in some ways that we can share our experience, because people need to hear. People need to hear that it happens and you can live through it. Do you ever completely heal from it? I don't think so. My childhood was, my innocence was stolen from me. And everything after that, there's just that, well, it's like a filter hovering over. And we see through it sometimes, and sometimes we ignore it. I have not let it stop me from
having a healthy marriage with my husband, Gord. I will say there are a few things that I still have triggers over. But I think every woman's journey that's experienced it as well is also unique to her. Because I've met some women who have had traumatic sexual abuse experiences, and they're doing amazing. And then I've met some who might have only had words of sexual advances put upon them, and they're a mess. So I think we can never judge anyone or know where a woman is in her particular place. Really, until you can stand in her shoes, which isn't possible. But it took a lot of courage for me to share in the beginning, many years ago. But I went to a little church where I got transformed, Melrose Baptist in Toronto. And that's where I got baptized when I was pregnant with Keldon inside and married Pastor Duguid.
Really?
That's his name. He said to me when he found out my testimony, which I shared before I was baptized, he told me, you know, Kalita, if there's any way that you might be able to share that part of your life, you have no idea how many women you'll be able to help. And I went home that day and I wrote a song called Deep Dark Secret, which actually is the first song on the CD that goes with the book. And that was very freeing for me. You know, I hid that for a lot of years. So there is something very healing about telling.
When you know of a friend or person that you love that has gone through that, how do we best come alongside to support? What should we do?
I have quite a few friends. I can't believe how many of my friends have been through the same thing. And when we can share together, there's a kindred spirit that happens.
I think that's good.
Yeah, being understanding, being empathetic, and not judging, because like I said earlier, everybody's experience is different. But coming together, I think there's power in that. And the understanding, the empathy is, when somebody understands you and has been there, that's so empowering and healing, you know, like, I don't think I really started too much of my healing journey until I started opening up.
Yeah.
You know? And I know some people are just too afraid that once they open up, they'll never be able to stop crying but you know me, ever since I started sharing, that's what I like to encourage people. So if you come alongside a friend.
You mentioned that you've seen women where they have, through this, have been able to thrive and flourish, and for others, they haven't been. Mm-hmm. I know it's everybody has a different story and has a different way of processing and healing. But I guess for our listeners and viewers, it's my heart is I don't want women to stay captive
and
victimized. Yeah. I want women to be free.
Yeah.
And so you've mentioned like opening up and being honest and sharing. Mm-hmm. What are other ways, Kalita, that you have been able to, because I look at you and it's so much trauma, and yet again, here you are, and you still sing and you write and you have a community and you know, your mom and wife and your living life in this, when I see you, like in the fullness of, in the way that you were created to be and to interact with people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How, for some women listening, like how can they get there? And again, I don't want it to be like, this is what you do.
Right.
Because sometimes that's not also healthy. Like do this and this will equal that.
Oh, no.
But what would be your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I will say that when I finally came face to face with myself, who I didn't know, who I didn't like, who I didn't accept, I started going to therapy.
Okay.
Huge. I worked with an amazing woman. She was like a Mother Earth. She had a large family, brood of children, and I could not wait to go and see her every week. And she worked with me for an hour and a half every week. She was such a wonderful blessing in my life, and she helped me process and realize, and this is huge, and I think it'll be huge for the women that are listening today, is that we do what we have to do to survive. And a lot of those things make us feel shameful and guilty, and we put ourselves down and we don't have any self-love. But that's what I learned through her, is that, no, Kalita, you did these things to survive.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. So finding someone who is, you know, a good coach, a good therapist, a support group, I believe in those things. And then, you know, I mean, we have a plethora now of podcasts and books and YouTube videos. You know, we can dig and find those people that we connect with and listen and learn. I have read so many books. I've been to healing prayer ministry, deep healing prayer ministry, where you're with a couple of people for an entire day. And it's like open heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sharing everything and you're praying over everything. And you're forgiving people and you're forgiving yourself. And you're asking God to come into those hard places and to be there and to comfort you. And so those are some of the things that I have done. But I think it's a daily choice as well. You know, we can stay in our victimhood, and sometimes it's very comfortable, and sometimes it feels the safest place to be. And sometimes we can even get addicted to being a victim so that we get the attention, we get the sympathy. And you know what? And being a victim, I was just listening to something this morning, or going through trauma. Do you know that there are chemicals that are pulsing through our veins, like cortisol and adrenaline, and we can get addicted to those?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I truly believe that my sister had some of that. You know, like she had this personality. She went through everything that I went through, almost very similar. But she was looking for that rush, you know? And as weird and strange as it might sound, but even when someone passes away, and I had so many people, so many deaths in my family, but there's this feeling that comes over you, and it's those chemicals in your, those endorphins in your body. And I think we can even get addicted to those.
Wow.
Because they're making us feel something. They're making us feel alive. I know it's kind of crazy, but that's what I've learned. Mm. And I think we can, you know, like, why did my sister then chase the crazy guys, the ones that abused her, the ones that were nasty?
Mm. Because it's that. That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. I think what I'm hearing too, which is really important, I say this a lot on the show and with my friends, we have to choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I meet with women, they're like, I don't know why. And I don't know why I'm stuck. And then I go through like, well, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
What have you decided to do to go forward, to become healthy, to not live in this pain? Mm-hmm. Well, I pray and I just am hoping that it changes me. I'm like, no, like we're in partnership with God. mm-hmm. where God gives us tools and people and a sound mind to make decisions and to choose life and freedom and forgiveness.
Yeah.
So we're partnering with him. But this whole thing about like, I don't know why, because I've seen that too. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why. It's like, but what are you doing to make healthy decisions for yourself?
Yeah.
In partnership with God, in partnership with community.
Yeah.
In partnership with the resources that we have, like books and podcasts.
So much.
In our healthy patterns of sleep and food and hydration, like all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people of faith, people who follow Jesus need to like know that. And therapy. Because I mean, growing mm-hmm. up, there was all this weird thing like that was owned by the New Age groups. That was owned by the other people.
Right.
It's like, no, actually, holistically,
yeah.
as God has created us in that way, we need to like access and make choices that are healthy for us mm-hmm. in all the ways.
Totally.
And so I think that's just a reminder as you say this to say, as you're in your journey and working through, you know, freedom and healing and forgiveness, also accompanying in partnership, doing us healthy things for ourselves.
Totally.
And I say this, and I'm glad you're saying, 'cause I say this over and over, like women, mm-hmm. we got to make good choices for ourselves.
Yes.
It's not just sitting on the couch and just hoping and praying that you're going to miraculously change and everything's going to be okay.
No.
You know?
I'm 66 now. I started working on myself in my late 20s, and I'm still working on it. I'm still working. You can't just just lay on the couch. No, it's called taking responsibility.
There it is.
Yeah, that's it. It's taking responsibility. And I don't think, well, and part of the victimhood is like staying there is, well, you can stay there forever, but you're not going to move forward. No. So, and we also have to let go of those that hurt us and harmed us and broke our hearts and mm-hmm. look at ourselves as responsible adults. And now that's what happened to us, but we don't need to stay in that space. No.
It's not who we are, and it shouldn't be what defines us.
We can change our story, but it's up to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And I love that reminder because I'm very strong with that. I tell a story, and I'll just say this quick, and I think you'll get it. I was speaking at a big conference. I won't say what, but it was a big conference, and they asked me to pray at the end with women.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lineup of women.
Sure.
I'm standing there. And the first woman comes up, and she goes, Melinda, I need prayer. I said, what do you need prayer for? She goes, I need prayer for my marriage, that I won't nag my husband, that we'll be in communication, that we'll find joy and laughter again, that we'll be connected, that we'll do good things and do date nights, and that we'll have a vibrant, thriving marriage. So I said, okay. So I put my hands on her. I said, God, I pray that X will do all the things she told me that she needs to do. Amen. And she looks up at me, and she was actually upset with me.
Like, that's it?
Because she literally goes, what was that? I said, here's the thing, beloved. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what you need to do. What you just told me for me to pray for you was, don't nag your husband, go on date nights, choose one another, find common interests. Mm-hmm. So do it.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me like, no, I want you to pray that God. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. I just prayed what you know you need to do. So all I prayed was, God, help her to have the courage to do the thing she knows she needs to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So she kind of was, I think, a little bothered. I had another woman then come up. Melinda, I need prayer that I will, and she went on and on. And then again, I said, put my hands on, I said, dear God, help her to do what she just told me to do. Amen. And she looks at me. Well, then the funniest part was people stopped coming down my line for prayer.
Oh, okay.
Because I think women were like, no, we want the God. But I was like, no, wait. I'm just actually going to pray that you do what you know you need to do.
Yeah.
Because you can access all that you need to do it.
Exactly.
So they didn't like it. But what's interesting about that is, why didn't they like it? Because mm-hmm. then the onus wasn't on them.
Yeah.
This onus was on this, like,
yeah.
God doing it miraculously and it would happen.
Yeah.
So I love what you're saying, because it's with great care and love about acknowledging mm-hmm. the pain and trauma, and then us choosing to move forward with these good choices.
Totally.
I love that. I think we all needed to hear that, Clita. Wow, we're going to keep going.
Okay.
Let's talk about, and this is a big one too, because this feels in a strange way, and I don't like to say it, like rampant and heartbreaking, but adultery. On either side, the people leaving, the people being left, what people would say is quote unquote, like breaking covenant, all that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. And I don't even know where to start, but how do you process that? And I mean, and your story is so much of like what was done to you, the choices you made, and thinking about our own like listeners and viewers. I mean, yes, we're on both sides. People have left, people have chosen to, you know, have other relationships outside of marriage, and then people were the ones who did get left. Like there's all of that.
Yeah, there's lots.
But let's process that, because that's one that is, I know people are experiencing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of anger and unforgiveness and also, yeah.
Well, do you want to start with my my adultery?
Yeah. I mean, whatever you feel comfortable. I left that open for you to say.
Yeah. Well, I've experienced being on both sides. Mm-hmm.
And you can talk into both.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something, obviously, that I'm proud of. Not at all. It doesn't leave a good feeling when you have betrayed the one that you have committed to. No matter what. I mean, I was not in a good situation. I wasn't in a good marriage. And so I felt like it was my right to go out and get comforted, to seek someone else to give me what I was missing. And so, you know, we can look at it that way and make excuses and for ourselves. And that's what I did. We can make ourselves believe those things, right? Yeah. So very interesting then, life would have it that my husband Gord and I would go through a tumultuous time. And where I had now, I must say that when I did go through my period of adultery in my first marriage, I was not walking with God, was nowhere close. Mm-hmm. So I can say I wasn't as convicted as I might have been. Mm-hmm. But now I'm in my marriage with Gord and a committed Christian, believing that he is too, and pressures are too much for him. New wife, new baby, new house, all within a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And, he went back to his old comfort zone, and that's when things aren't working with the woman you're with. Find a new one. Yeah. I would say out of the entire journey that my life has been on and what I've written in the book is that the betrayal by Gord was the most painful thing. It really was, because I thought I'd found my knight. I thought that God put us together. I believed he put us together. We had a child who was just maybe 2 years old. And to think that this person that I thought God had given me and this new life, as I turned everything around, going from a music industry profession to now a Christian music ministry. It was all of that. And here I was, and my husband has chosen this escape route. This is the period of time in my life that I held on to God and my faith and the belief that God was going to change my husband, that he was going to change me and allow me to deal with this horrific place I found myself in. And God did a miracle. He did. And that's how I know that miracles can happen now. Because he did one. Yeah, he did.
there was a lot of women who wouldn't have stayed.
Nope. I know, I'm sure people thought I was crazy.
So what made you stay?
I didn't want to be a single mom. I didn't want to be another statistic. I didn't want to fail at another marriage. I wanted to break the cycle, the generational cycle of divorce and dysfunction in my family. And I wanted to prove to myself that I was strong enough and I was going to turn this around and make my husband love me again. I had such determination. I was so driven. I was a woman on a mission. I really was, because I loved him. Mm-hmm. And that is what kept me going, because God filled me with so much love for Gord when I should have hated him.
Whoa.
And that was supernatural.
That's the wow that we talked about.
That's a wow.
That is a wow.
Like, I remember, like, telling my girlfriend, I love him. I hate him. I don't want to love him, but I do. I love him so much. And I know that wasn't from me. There's a song on the CD called Because of Love. And it was because of love, because of God's love for me, because of God's love for Gord, because of his love for the two of us, and for my love for Gord.
I don't know this part of the story. I know that I met you during that time.
Oh,
was
yeah.
That right?
Yes, yeah, you did.
There was,
yeah.
I could sense there was something going on. And then I heard these like rumors within the church that something was going on.
Yeah.
How did that impact Gord? So here's why I asked that, because mm-hmm. the person who has been unfaithful mm-hmm. and their partner is still like, no, I love you and I want mm-hmm. to be with you. It's not every for everybody.
No.
I know that.
No, it's not.
You know, and so I don't want to make it like that's what everybody should do.
Right.
But what was that like when somebody who had been unfaithful has a partner and wife that says, no, I love you and I'm committed mm-hmm. to you? That had to have changed Gord. That had to have done something to him.
I would think
so. Yeah, yeah. I know Gord's not here. Maybe next time he needs to come. But
I mean, if he was here today, he would tell you it's because of what God did in him. Because he decided, we separated for a short period of time, and he decided that he was going to act upon his commitment and his duty as a husband and father and ask God that the feelings would come.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't there.
He wasn't there for a while. There's a part in the book, and I won't spoil it, but another miracle happened. Yeah.
I'll just insert right now, go get the book. You'll hear some more of the story. So it's possible that when someone betrays you or is unfaithful, that you can restore the relationship and love again.
Definitely.
I just want to hear that because it's not, it doesn't sound in our culture now like that's what happens mostly.
I know.
So to hear that, and it seems, it's so strange because, wow, and yet that's not the rule, that's the exception. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when you hear that out now.
Yeah, I know. It's too easy today.
It's very easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. How long have you and Gord been married now?
It'll be 33 years this fall. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I could talk to you for hours and hours, and then there were so many more things I wanted to talk about, you know, going through emotional abuse and drug addiction and the death of your sister.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. But I want to land on last two things about just forgiveness mm-hmm. and freedom. Because I think your book is, yes, it's the story and it's hard read sometimes, Cleta, I'll be honest. And I think for the reader, it's like, this is the raw and wow. This is life. Mm-hmm. And I am so proud. I don't want to get emotional, but I'm so proud of you because how brave you are to write your story. But I know that this story is going to heal women and men and give hope to so many. Because I think the hope is you in the way of that, the choices you made, leaning into love and to God, and here you are. Because really the statistic would be that you shouldn't be here, like with all of this trauma.
Yeah.
But let's just talk about forgiveness and freedom. I want to end with like, it is possible. It is available. It is good. Forgiveness. How have you journeyed through the choosing of forgiveness for the people that have harmed you and hurt you in your life?
I think with each one, it's been different. You know, I would say when I wrote Unusual Child, that's the song that I wrote about my brother who abused me, the day that I sat down at a piano that was actually at my sister's place. And I'd been on a flight from Victoria to Calgary, and he had lived in Victoria. And so I remember visiting him as a young teenage girl. And I was thinking about him, and I wrote on my boarding pass, Unusual Child. And then I sat at my sister's piano and wrote the song. And just like that first song I wrote, you know, God just moves through me, and the song kind of writes itself. And so when I wrote that song, that was the beginning of forgiving him and understanding he was a most unusual child. But, you know, God loves every unusual child. My stepfather, I went to his funeral and spoke, and I had made my peace with him. It's a maturity in life. It's a maturity in your walk with God when you can open up that place and look at people as people. My stepfather was one of the most wounded people I know. And I think when we look at people through those eyes, it's so much easier to open up our hearts and understand that they're just flawed, messed up, wounded, toxic, hurting people. So that has been a huge thing for me, to be able to see people as real people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not as the figures that they represent in our lives. And then truthfully, honestly, through God, just allowing my heart to soften and change and to be molded. You know, it's not really something you can totally dissect and explain, that thing, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think it's just something you say once and then that's it. You know, and I know a lot of people who've been hurt, and I don't think you have to say, I forgive you right away. You know, especially those who've been abused. You don't have to say, I forgive you. You don't even have to think it or feel it for however long it takes you. That's how long it takes you. But the thing is to be open to it, because it will free you. That's for sure.
Wow. It's the raw and wow. And I love the title of the book, Reason to Sing. Mm-hmm. So every kind of story, there's this song that accompanies in your life. I think that's beautiful. Yeah. That's such a beautiful, unique.
Yeah.
Way of I think sharing your story, because we all have song and we connect and we can also read, but that's really beautiful.
Yeah. I always had the vision of writing the book and having songs throughout it. So there's a CD and you just go follow along with the CD. Not every chapter has a song, but there's 19 songs and people will relate to their own life, to the story. I think the, you know, music is so healing. You know, I've been so blessed when people will write me emails and let me know that the music has touched them. So That's my prayer for this book. You know, Melinda, if you'd asked me, like, are you going to write your book? Like, sitting where I am today with you now, I might have second thoughts because I can tell you I'm scared because it's very vulnerable and raw.
It is.
And so the reason I'm doing it is so that people can find freedom and healing. Because if you look at my life, you'll see that I am free.
Yeah.
And I always say healing is ongoing, but wow, have I healed a lot of places. And I want to be that, I want to be that encouragement. I really do. That's why I'm doing it.
You know, I've seen a lot of your life in 30 years. I've watched your career and saw Keldon grow up and been to your concerts. And yet, honestly, Kalita, this is sitting here after so many years that I haven't seen you because you're living your best life and a sunny place. I feel just a peace, a settledness, like a maturity and a wisdom that I haven't seen before. And in that, it's like this, like internally to externally, like this glow about you. And that's a beautiful thing that I want to aspire to. And I don't want to get, I'm like, I'm just like crying emotional, but I think it's because it's the time and and the friendship and the years of seeing. And it's so beautiful to see a woman that I knew. And here you are. So thank you for the gift of your book, Reason to Sing. Where can we get it?
You'll be able to get it on all the platforms, Amazon and the audio book will be available as well on Audible and Amazon.
Okay. And then website, social media is what? Your website?
Kalita.com.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Before we go, if you look over, you'll see Adam, and he's helping to like produce and manage this podcast. And before you came in, he told me this really cute story. Adam, can you speak into this or not? Can you share? Or do you want me to share? You got to tell Kalita. Come on over. This is how we do it.
All right.
You can be recorded. You can take, because I need him to tell you this.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
I know. This is.
All right. Yeah. So back in, I think like the late 90s or something, my parents used to host a morning show on CTS called Rise and Shine.
Oh, yeah. I remember it.
And one morning, I was going to go be a co-host with my dad. Just like as a little take your son to work co-host type of thing. And he told me to pick the music for the show. And each show, I think it was an hour long, and they would grab different music clips from Huntley Street. And so he gave me a list, or rather a handful of rundowns. And I didn't know any of the names on the rundowns, but the name that stood out was Kalita. And so I picked all the Kalita songs that were on the thing. And so our show, had all of your had all your music. And so that was the first I knew of Kalita.
Well, thank you.
I know. Isn't that amazing? You're just telling me about that. So thanks, Adam. But we're talking about it. And I think what's cool is just your influence of music and your presence here in Canada, but also specifically Ontario, Canada, and in the Crossroads Center with 100 Huntley Street. And so there's so many memories and so many connections. This was a gift and a privilege to have you, Kalita.
Thank you.
I didn't want to share too. Here's the thing. Usually I talk through the stories, but I felt for this conversation, I didn't want to. I wanted people to buy your book so the reader can read the story.
Right.
And then listen to the podcast as almost like a postlude to what you went through in a way.
That's great.
So viewers and listeners, get Kalita's book, Reason to Sing, and obviously with the music. And our hope as we had this conversation, Kalita, I hope is that people will choose forgiveness and freedom and wholeness and love and not be defined by their trauma or abuse. Or victimization or loss.
Yeah.
Right? But they will know that they're beloved and valued and they can do it. They can choose to flourish and thrive.
They can.
Right?
They can.
God is with them. There are people there out there who would love to be a friend to share with you. And then I think also my takeaway from what you said, Kalita, is have the courage, like you, to share your story. Because when we share a story, there's healing.
Totally.
So thank you so much, Clayda, for being with us.
Thank you.
To our viewers and listeners, I'm glad that you were a part of our conversation. And I guess the best way to end, as like always, know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love the podcast with Melinda Esther Brooks. Stay connected with our daily posts and stories on Instagram or Facebook at See, Hear, Love, or join our newsletter at www.seehearlove.com.